I'd say you can start.
Okay.
All right, this is Daniel Thacker with the South Texas Archives, and we're sitting here with Margie Brown. We're also sitting here with Karen Meadows. She's the one that introduced me to Margie. And Margie, you grew up in Rivera, correct?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
And so, when were you born?
1931.
Yes. And so that
I'm 87.
Makes 87 years old.
Yes. Yes.
Just recently.
Yes.
Just had a birthday.
Just recently.
Birthday. Yes.
That lasted a week.
All yeah. Right. I did. Yes, it did. Yeah. And I just sold my home over there where I lived and bought this little place. I was lived right by Karen.
Yeah. I met Ernie, and who was the other donkey's name?
Well, we called him Bert.
Bert and Ernie.
But he was Red.
Oh, okay.
He was actually Red and Ernie. We called him Bert and Ernie.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And where were you born?
I was born in Rivera
In Rivera?
Yes.
At home, probably.
Yes. Oh, yes. I was born at home.
And who is your father?
Orlando.
Orlando Underbrink?
Yes, Underbrink, not with a D, not the T.
Wait, with the D as in
It's a D, UNDERBRINK.
And the reason she makes that distinction is there's a lot of Unterbrinks out here with the team.
But we're all related. But
all related. And who is your mother?
Grace.
Grace.
Remlinger. Well, Grace, she was Grace Remlinger, and she married Underbrink.
Sure.
So, but she's Grace Underbrink.
Did your mom grow up out here too?
No, they were born in Illinois and come down here in 1913.
1913.
Yes, Mom and Papa both come down when Grandpa was selling the land, and they all come down this way, all the family. It was big families.
Well, and talk about your grandfather selling the land. Tell me how he got a hold of the land.
Well,
to sell.
He worked for Coke Land Company. Grandpa did.
Your grandfather's name was what?
Ignatius Loyola, and that's Papa named the beach Loyola after his father, my daddy's daddy.
And so your grandpa knew the Cokes?
The Coke, yes. And he sold land for them.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And was there, the way I understand it, that they were trying to make this kind of like the Texas Riviera, like the French?
Yeah, well, see, that was Riviera Beach.
Okay.
If you've ever been over there on 771. And then the storm blew it all away, you know, in 1913, I think. They write it up as 1913, I think. When that big storm it was something else. There's pictures of they had pavilions. There was a railroad clear out to Rivera Beach. A train came down there.
So how many, was your grandfather successful in bringing people down?
Yes, yes. Lots of those lots over at Rivera Beach were sold by my grandpa. Mm-hmm.
And I heard there was like a mass exodus after the hurricane. A lot of people gave up. Is that true?
Yes. Oh,
yeah.
It just is. There's still lots just sitting there.
No kidding.
Yes, but there's a what is that man's name that's buying it all up now? And he's has that big mansion over there, Karen. What is his name?
Oh yeah, the one we always talk about.
Right.
Now, right?
Yeah. Well, I can't say his name. But anyway, he's buying up a lot of that land and clearing it now and selling lots. Is what I hear he's going to do. But you know, they'll be there's a nice cafe over there right now. And a little, I guess you'd call it a little place where you can rent not cottages, but apartments. Mm-hmm. But that's about it over there. And, what's it?
There used to be a big hotel.
Oh,
probably
yes.
Probably in your grandfather's time before the hurricane.
Oh,
there
yeah.
Was a huge hotel.
And they built another one. And Robert and I used to dance there all the time. Because it was there till after the 50s. And then I guess the hurricane or something else, or it burnt. I think it burnt. If you read it, that was after I was raising a family, and I didn't keep up with it.
And Robert is your husband, Robert.
Yes,
Brown.
Robert Brown.
Robert Brown.
And he was at the cook at the King's Inn for 44 years.
Yeah, we heard about him. He's the one that made the tartar sauce.
Yes, yes.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
That's so famous.
Yes.
And the book that she's referring to is the Riviera, Texas history book by...
My sister.
By Idella Underbrink.
Stupert. Yes.
Stupert. And it's called A Small Town in God's Country,
yes.
Rivera, Texas.
Right. Uh-huh.
And we have this at the library.
Uh-huh. Well, what she wrote is correct. All of these other college kids that wrote, you can read them, you know, who they were by. Whoever was talking to them, I guess they didn't know exactly and didn't put it. Not because I remember it.
Right.
You know. So, that's the way it was. But I don't, I just grew up here and I liked the beach and I'm still here. Because my daddy was, I was the only one in the family that really liked it down here, and that's how come we bought the 10 acres where I was.
And the other family didn't like it?
Well, they weren't enthused. They were all farmers.
Uh-huh.
And I married, I mean, you know, I just liked it here on the beach, and I worked at the store from, I had to quit school and work at the store at 14.
Now, It's not the store that's on the corner.
Okay.
It's a grocery store that her father opened.
The one on the corner is the one I did work in. And the other one I worked in was when I was about maybe 5, and my job was to sort the beans. You know, because we had beans of all kinds and people would mix them up. I had to sort them. And I was only like 5. And that was the little Loyola Beach store, I think was the name of it or something. And there's pictures of it.
The first little store that your dad
built. Yes. Well, he really didn't build it. He remodeled it. It was Uncle Louie's home when he bought it there. Mm-hmm. And that was farmland there.
Mm-hmm. And where was that?
Where was that cafe? Where Randy's parking lot is.
No, where was the little store?
Where Randy's parking lot is.
Okay. In the King's Inn.
You know where the pretty trees are there from the King's Inn? Well, it was right there. Okay. A little grocery store. There's pictures of it. I don't have one. Debbie has my album. But the Monsells run it for years. And then's when he built... Well, it tells you he built a little bathhouse on the water. And he thought, well, people just keep coming down and they want something to eat. So he moved that little bathhouse where the King's Inn is now.
Uh-huh.
And he opened a little Orlando's Cafe. And then, well, he was a builder and he wanted to develop it. So every time he'd build something, he'd sell it.
Right.
That's the way it was. And the Green Frog was there. It had a few more things than it has right now.
What's the Green Frog?
Well, the Green Frog was a little cafe where they sold hamburgers and chili and beer.
Beer?
Yes.
Was that where the It's Texas is now?
No. This is Texas was our grocery store.
Okay.
The second grocery store. Yes. And just right across the store... Like I say, I don't have my album, but it was a little cafe. And it was all different kinds of names. And so was the little grocery store. It turned into a beer joint when Mr. Yeary bought it. And he named it. Oh, there were so many names because so many people, you know, bought it and then sold it and bought it and sold it. But that was the first grocery store.
Where the Is Texas is?
No. Oh. The one the paralysis rang. It was... Right there where all those trees are on Randy's parking lot. Well, there was a little a grocery store there. Mm-hmm. And a fish market, a little bitty fish market.
Yeah.
I think that's the one that Calvin talks about where he was as a kid, take his fish and sell them.
Okay.
No. That was down where that big slab is, Karen. Oh,
okay.
That's where they sold their fish.
Okay.
But there was a little bitty market there, and we called him Kilroy. And he had a little fish market there, and I guess like Robert and his brother, they'd bring up a tub of fish and he'd buy them. And so that's the way that was, just a little bitty fish market. And then he moved it down where the new grocery store is, and he had a little place there. And that's just the way I remember it.
Yeah.
As I grew up there. I guess we moved to the beach when I was 14.
You're 14?
I was 14 when I moved to the beach.
So you were in Illinois before then, right?
No,
I'm sorry.
No, I was in
Revere. You're born in Revere, I'm sorry.
Yes. My daddy and mother were born in Ohio and Illinois.
Okay.
My daddy, right. I think, in Ohio, and my mother in Illinois, if I'm right.
Okay.
I think so, yeah.
And you said you left school when you were 14?
Yes.
Was that common?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Lots of people then had to stop and help the farmers. We didn't get to go to school half the time when we went because we had to stop and pick beans or shuck corn or, you know. But that was all of us. I mean, most of us had to do that then because it was just a farm community.
So tell him what road you grew up on.
Pardon?
County road.
Is that 1010?
Yeah.
Yeah, 1010 where the Neely's Waterworks is where I grew up. And that old house was moved. Papa built that house, and it had 7 gables. And they moved it right across from my brother Marion. It's still there. And I wasn't even born when he built it.
But your father was a farmer.
Yes, he farmed and he carpentered.
And he had animals.
Oh, yes. He had cattle. And he had pigs. And he had ducks. And he had chickens. Just name it. He had everything. Every coop around you had something in it. He loved animals. My daddy loved animals. And he had them all.
And when you could go to school, you walked.
Yes. Oh, yes. We had to walk from 1010, you know, and I think it's just about 3 miles. We had to walk every morning. I'm home every evening. 3 miles. But everybody else walked, too. You know, we didn't have no buses then.
And tell him what the land looked like around there when you walked every morning.
Ooh. What do you mean, how it looked?
Well, the trees.
Oh, it was solid trees. It was no farmland as you walked. It was back, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was. Sometimes when I didn't know my Bible, I wouldn't want this written down, but when I didn't know my Bible stories, well, I'd have to walk home and it'd be almost dark, and I was scared.
Yeah.
And it was almost dark. But we didn't have no other way to get to school. We had to walk. Mm-hmm. And carry our lunch. It was hard times, but I'm still here.
Yeah.
And I don't regret any of it. I think growing up on the farm, we had everything. We never hungry. No need to be hungry because we had everything. A garden and cattle and ducks and pigeons. And we had every kind of meat there was to eat, you know. So we was well off in eating.
But your father was also a businessman, and he was always looking for opportunities.
Yes.
And he bought how many acres down here?
10.
He bought 10.
And then he bought the 20 where I live. He bought the 10 first that he named Laurel Beach.
Okay.
It's there where the King's Inn is and where Randy lives, that whole, you know, that kind of in there. And then he bought the 20 acres where I live by Karen.
I mean, what was his plans for that?
For that?
Uh-huh.
Plans for that. He sold lots, all coming down 628 when you're coming to the beach. All those lots in there he sold where those little houses are. Some of them don't look too good right now, but they used to. And then he sold land going down 1140 where I live. And all the way down to where he owned. There's property that he sold, lots, you know, and people would build on them. Most of the little houses that are there is what he built by the store, because Edna and I, my sister and I, would work at the store, and he wanted to be right there if we needed him. So he'd build little houses, and he'd move them on a lot and sell them.
He'd build them himself?
Yes.
No kidding.
All right. And he was a carpenter.
And he also built the building that would become the King's Inn?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like I say, it was a little bathhouse. It's I don't have the pictures, but it was just a little bathhouse there on the water. And he moved it up there and made a little front on it and named it.
And then he decided that people would stay longer if he did what?
If he made it into a cafe. Yes.
And what else did he have at night?
What else? Dances.
Yeah.
Yes, he'd have dances. Oh boy, that little round part was a dance hall.
Okay.
And we just dance away in there. And my mother couldn't. Oh well, it's my mother, but it is to me. My mother didn't hear tone. I mean, she couldn't dance. So Papa was a good dancer, and she was a little short. She'd get on his feet, and he'd just take them around. That was so cute. I could just see him dancing. It was funny.
But you lived on 1010, right?
Until I was
14.
14.
Mm-hmm. But tell him what your father said one time when your grandfather came from down north to visit. And your father told him what he wanted to do.
What did he do? He just, in the book it tells you that he thought that was a bad idea. Wasn't that what it was?
Yeah.
It was a bad idea. I just really can't remember the details of it, but anyway, he didn't want Papa to do it. But really? that's why he bought the property from the paralysis. He did not buy it from his daddy.
Yeah.
No.
The property she's talking about is where King's Inn is right now,
right,
and where I live and where she used to live. That's the land that her grandfather told her dad. No. That's not
where you and I live. That's the other 20 acres. This side is the 10 acres where the King's Inn is.
Right.
He bought it first. Yes. And there was all kinds of little buildings and stuff in there. It was a big fish market where that big slab is, and a little grocery store. That's the first grocery store there, you know, after I quit working at the King's Inn. I worked there, too, for Barbara and Wayne Peoples. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's who run it.
It's kind of funny because your dad was doing the same thing your grandpa was doing, but he thought it was a bad idea.
Right. Huh. For him to buy that and think he could make a resort out of it.
Okay.
That's what he was against.
I think your grandfather had remembered the experience that he'd had with all the other stuff.
Yeah.
And just thought that would just be a repeat of what had happened to
the storm blow it away,
right,
too.
Right, right. Yeah.
So what happened to your grandpa after that hurricane hit? Did that just destroy him, or?
No, he lived down here, but grandma died young, and he had a little home down somewhere, but it just sort of made him sad. He lived with us for a long time, and then he went back north to live with closer to some of his other children. Let's see, it was Uncle Charlie and Papa and Matt. There was about four of Grandpa's children that stayed here, you know, and built homes and raised their family. But the rest of them went back north. I guess they had bought property and it didn't fizzle out like they liked it. It was too hot.
It's hot.
Yeah. Well, it's hotter now than it was then. Because we have air conditioning is what I think ruins us. I really do.
That and they cut down a lot of the trees.
Yes. Yes, it used to be all mesquite, and Papa's always said was, they keep destroying these mesquite trees, we're going to have another West Texas, because he lived in West Texas for a while. Mm-hmm. Oh, Papa lived everywhere. Read the book about my sister Irene wrote a book, how many times they moved before they settled there on 1010. That's
you don't remember anything but 1010.
That's all I remember, because, you know, I was born there. I was born there, but I can remember him talking about it, but I never was there. So, you know where the Hutzels are and they're building, we always wondered what that pond was. If you go down that road further, that's where Grandma and Grandpa lived. The other, Mama's mother and Daddy lived down there. Yeah, it's a long story. I don't know how to tell it all. You know, it's just, I just lived here all my life, and that's the way it is. So.
So your father leased the building to who would create the King's Inn?
Yes. Well, he leased it to Mom Wright. That was a little old French lady. She had a little cafe over, a little further over, and she liked Papa's little place. So she rented it. And then it says that when she made enough money, which I remember, she bought it from Papa. Because he was already building cottages, you know, and Idella and a bunch of us was always in the cafe doing something. And my sisters. My brothers didn't care for the beach. They liked farming. So they didn't hardly ever come down to the beach. But
what did they farm?
What did they farm? Well, they had cotton and grain and corn and Sudan is what we called it. We made silage. Isn't that what it was? What did you make silage out of? Some sort of grain. And you put it in silos and made silage out of it, and that's what you'd carry up and feed to your cows, because we had a dairy. We milked lots of cows and sold the cream.
Is that the same thing as what they call Milo?
Well, it was kind of like that, but I think they called it Sudex. I'm not sure. Is that a word, Karen? Sudex. And they'd mow it down and it'd dry, and then you'd put it through a chute and make silage out of it. Stink, ooh, it stinks sour. But we'd haul it up out of there and bring it to the cows to eat. We had a big dairy, not a big one, like some people had bigger ones than us, but we had about 20 cows. And my sister and I'd have to milk, well, by the time we milked about six each every morning before we walked to school.
No kidding.
Uh-huh. Separated the milk and fed the pigs the sour milk. Yeah. We worked hard. Like I say, I moved from there when I was 14. So. But I don't regret a bit of it. We grew up happy. We was a happy bunch of kids, you know, when we did what we were supposed to do, I guess. Because everybody else did, too. I mean, you know, that was life. You didn't even have a pair of shoes that was alike. Sometimes you was poor, but we never was hungry. Never was hungry. No. We had plenty to eat.
So when did you marry and start a family?
Married my husband in 1950. Yes.
So
he worked at the King's Inn, and I worked at the store, and I'd watch him walk to work every day.
But before that, her older sisters had married and had kids, and she swore, not me.
All right.
I'm
not going to do that, because that's all I did is babysit for my sisters.
Yeah, and you...
And I was almost 20 before I married, and they were all about like 17. Not me. I didn't want to have a big family like that. And Robert didn't either. We're both number 13 in our families.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Yes. And there was even more after Robert, but I was the baby, 13. Yeah.
So how many children did you and Robert have?
Four. Two boys and two girls.
Mm-hmm. And that was, one was Calvin, right?
Yes, Calvin.
Calvin.
And then Robin's right here by me.
Uh-huh.
And Debbie lives in Ricardo, and Peggy lives in Wharton.
Well, who knows?
She says they're going to move. Her husband is determined they're going to move down here. Well, they bought a great big thing like this.
Right now she's kind of in between.
Moving.
Harvey kind of did them in up there.
Yes.
They're where they live was underwater. So
uh-huh. Yeah.
She's getting it ready to put on the market to sell, and then they're going to live down here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But in order, Calvin?
Oh, it was Peggy, then Calvin, then Robin, then Debbie. Yeah. And Debbie lives in Ricardo. So they're going to all live right around me. Not far, anyway.
That's so good.
Yeah, and their families, well, Peggy's family is mostly in Houston. Calvin's two still live here, and Robin's is in Dallas, and Debbie's are in Austin, grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. And greats.
Pardon?
And great-grandchildren.
Oh, great-grandchildren, yeah. They're in Houston area, most of them. You know, Peggy's got the most, and then Allison's, and Kristen's in Austin. Debbie's the only one that has grandchildren here that I get to see often. They're coming down this weekend. Mm-hmm. So, I have 11 grandchildren, 16, did I tell you 16 great-grandchildren? Mm-hmm. I think so.
And when she was 14, they moved down to the beach and lived in Miles.
Uh-huh, yeah. And she still got some of the walls of that house. It's neat. Well, you showed him, didn't you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, that was where from 14 till I married Robert, I was almost 20, lived right there. And we'd walk to the store with our little money box and open it up.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad back then. No. Didn't nobody ever lock a door. It wasn't. I don't think I'd do that today.
No, couldn't today.
Uh-uh.
Sadly.
But, you know, before Robert passed away, I still walked to work to the store. But I didn't have no money with me. I mean, you know, I just opened up. But when we was kids, we'd carry our little money box down there to the store.
And what did Robert do for a living?
He was a cook at the King's Inn.
Okay.
He was in the service before that, and when I married him, he was working for the railroad. He was working for Mr. Ware, and he wasn't making very much money, so his brother Donald worked for Mobil, so he got him a job working there. But he wanted him to move way off somewhere, and Robert wanted to stay down here because we were married and he didn't want to move away. And then he started working at the King's Inn, and that's where he was. He had a bad back, and that's about the only thing. He couldn't lift and couldn't do a lot of things. So,
Did that happen in the service?
Yes, yes.
Was he in World War II then?
Korean. Wasn't it Korean?
Conflict.
Korean, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you married him after he came back?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a fisherman when I met him. You know, I told you I'd watch him. And then later on, he started working at the King's Inn, and I'd watch him walk to work. From they lived right across from you in an old house, and it burnt down.
And that's kind of on the corner there.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Have a picture of it burning down.
Aww.
We went over there and took a picture of it. I don't know how it caught fire, but anyway, it burned down. His mom and dad lived there for a long time, and then they moved to the valley, but Robert kept living there. And then he started living with the Wares. You know, Mrs. Ware. It'll tell you in this book that she calls him one of her children she raised, but whatever, he was, I guess, 19 or 20. But he liked them to work for him. You know, they were good to Robert, really good to Robert. He didn't even own a car when we first got married. We used the Ware's car. His brother wrecked his, so we didn't even have a car.
Robert had a twin brother named
yes.
Donald.
Uh-huh. And Mommy had triplets, too. His mother had triplets twice. One set of triplets, two of them lived, and one set she lost when she wasn't very far along. So anyway, I was scared to death every time I was going to have a baby. I might have twins. Calvin has twins.
Yeah, I saw the pictures. Yeah.
And then my sister Irene had twins, and my sister Laura had twins. So I thought, oh, God, please don't let me have twins. I didn't want twins. I couldn't handle one, much less two. But I guess the good Lord would have just showed me how, of course.
So did you and Robert ever live anywhere but down here?
We lived in Rockport when he worked for the Kinsels, you know.
Do you know that your son doesn't know that?
He doesn't? You have to be kidding.
No, I told him, and he said, no, I don't think Mom and Daddy ever lived anywhere but down here.
Oh, yeah, we lived. Robert took me through there before he passed away. I said, I want to get out of here. It was just like a little circle of rent houses, and it was cute then, and all Oilfield people lived there, and... But I didn't like it when he took me back to see it. That was 40 years later, you know, when he says, let's go back to where we first lived. But we didn't live there but about 3 months. So I don't know. And then we lived at Goodman's Cottage. As you know, he knew that, didn't he?
Not sure.
You don't? How?
Was that before you had kids?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So.
I was pregnant with Peggy when we moved.
Yeah. So I think... Probably he's never, y'all have never talked about that.
I see, I'm not one to ask many questions to anybody.
And I don't think Calvin is.
No, Calvin not either, no. No, Peggy will, but not me. I just, whatever somebody wants to tell me, I'll tell them. But I'm not much on asking many questions. Like people will ask me, how's this or how's that? And I say, well, if they tell me, I'll tell you, but if they don't tell me, I don't ask.
Right.
But I worked in the grocery store down there till when it opened. I even helped them set it up and everything. I liked the grocery store. And then when I got sick, well, I never did go back yet. And they asked me yesterday when I was coming back. And I said, I don't know. But I've been there. Everybody knows me because I've worked there ever since it's opened. So.
And that's the Brown's store.
Yes. Well, right now it still says Brown's, but Calvin sold it when he got ill.
Okay.
So it's, what have they got? What, Baffin Bay?
Baffin Bay Convenience
Store. But they have never changed. Is the sign changed still yet? They was going to.
It wouldn't do any good. Everybody's going to call it Brown's.
Brown's,
forever.
Yeah. Right. Right. Well, I worked for the Peoples and I worked for the Rays. They bought it, you know. And then Calvin bought it. So.
You've worked at several places out here. Worked at Mesquite Inn.
Oh, yes. And, you know, I never asked for a job. Somebody'd come up and ask me.
Yeah.
I never did ask for a job. And I even worked at the little store that's a store now. And I was working at the King's Inn, and the man said, Margie, would you work for me just a day so I could get off? And I said, you want me at the store for a day? I'm working at the King's Inn. He said, but you have a couple of days off. I said, okay. So I worked for him. And, you know, it's the funniest thing about cash registers. I don't know if this is sound funny to you, but I was always used to picking up the change door and putting my checks under it. People write checks, put it under there. And Dan says, well, everybody told me you was the most honest person in the world, but you're always short, and I wonder what we're doing. And I said, I am? Why? I don't know why. He says, well, it is. And I said, do you ever pick this up and look under it? And, how many checks were underneath that drawer?
Oh.
And the same thing happened over at Sunny, over at Muskegon. I said, well, I thought everybody put their checks under the change drawer. There's not a slot. I mean, you had to stick them there and put them under there. I said, well, Sunny, I thought you knew I was putting mine under there. I never paid attention to anybody else, what they did. You're always so busy. You didn't know. It was a busy little place over there, the Mesquite Inn. It's still there, but you can't tell it was a cafe.
No.
No. Now it's a good place to eat over there, Baffin Bay Cafe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All of Calvin's family, Noni's family, after her sister passed, they all went over there and ate a couple of times.
So your name is Underbrink, but it used to be Unterbrink?
Nope.
No?
Mine has always been Underbrink.
Been Underbrink.
Uh-huh. My grandpa, my daddy's daddy, changed it to Underbrink, because he was in real estate. And You know how you say Underbrink? You say Unterbrink. And nobody could say it, Unterbrink, because It's German.
Right.
And so he said he's just going to change his to Underbrink. So he did. But the rest of them are Underbrink, but they don't pronounce the T, do they? No, they say Underbrink. Uh-huh. But it's a T.
I'm just curious, like when World War II was going on, did you get any blowback for being German or being from German descent at all?
Oh, my daddy did a little bit, yes.
Yeah.
A little bit. Not a whole lot, because He let him know he, you know. His daddy come over here. I know my grandma and grandpa on mama's side come over here on a ship. Did Grandpa and Grandpa? I don't know. I've never heard anybody. I wonder if Idella wrote about it. I don't know. I never even thought to ask. But I know that Grandma Remling and Grandpa Remling are not my grandpa, but my mother's folks come over here on a ship from France. My mama was French. My daddy's German. So I'm German-French.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. And one time he dressed up like Hitler one time, which was a no-no, but I didn't know it, you know, and Mama was scared. People just said, I know you as a communist, you know, and all this stuff. And Papa really had a hard time just trying to tell him he was being funny. Just put a little mustache on like Hitler had.
Yeah.
But I just remember Mama just crying because people started saying that about Papa, because Papa was not a, what, a communist? Is that what you called him?
Or Nazi. A Nazi.
Nazi. Yeah, he's just nothing but a Nazi, you know, with a little German suit. But that's the only time I ever remember when he put that little mustache on us. And I used to see my mama crying because somebody was making fun of him. I wonder if my kids know that. I don't know that I've ever told them that.
They need to ask you questions.
Well, they're like me. They don't ask questions, except Peggy. She asked you lots of questions. Yeah.
What's some of the bigger changes you've seen over the years in this place?
Changes? The waterfront. You could buy the waterfront for nothing, the land, because it was nothing. And when I had to quit selling water, Robert and I sold water to Loyola Beach off our well, where down there. And we had to quit selling it because we had to bring it up to government specs, is that what you say? And we didn't have the money because you had to drill a bigger well and put a bigger pipe in there. So he said he'd give us 6 months to cut everybody off. And I said, how are they going to get water? They get it from us. They didn't make them any difference. Didn't make them a better difference. So Martha Mahaffey and I went around and got signatures to get Baffin Bay water. And her husband wrote about it all the time because he was a journalist, but never put my name in it. But I worked as hard or harder than Martha, but that's okay. I helped get it here, and then people started. We got a grant, I guess, or a loan or something from the government and put in that big waterworks down there on the corner. And that's when it started to grow. Everybody on the waterfront wanted a lot because they could get water access, you know. I mean, water, drinking water. There might have been we had a flowing well on the beach when we bought it.
No kidding.
It was neat as could be. The water just poofed out of there. And we played in it all the time. Cold, pretty water.
Yeah.
But it went dry when they started drilling wells.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Isn't that the strangest thing?
Well, I guess they hit something. And there was three of them that I can remember. flowing wells. One was over going towards Riviera Beach and Papa's, and then one way down there. I don't know how to tell you the countries. They had one. But they were all flowing.
When, you mean wells like oil wells?
Yes, yes.
When did they start drilling oil wells in this area?
Shoot, how old was I when our well went dry?
No, she's talking water and you're talking oil.
I'm talking when did our water well go dry is when they started drilling it, but I can't remember how old I was.
Okay.
Maybe 10?
Okay, gotcha.
Maybe I was 10.
Because see, Baffin Bay right now has its own water supply. We have wells that they have drilled, and that's how all of us that live on Loyola Beach get their water. Mm-hmm. That's how this park gets its water.
Right.
And there are people, Calvin has a separate well, Margie has a separate well. There's several people up and down the beach that have drilled another well. Probably not necessarily for drinking, but for watering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I always used Baffin Bay water because I was the first one to have to put money down to put it in because I was the one that wanted the water. I mean, I felt sorry for people. You know, I hated to cut their water off, but the government made us. I mean, we had to.
Yeah, Margie and them had a well, and they would run pipes to other houses, mm-hmm. close within proximity, mm-hmm. and they would get water off of their well. My house was one of those. Mm-hmm. The people lived in my house.
All the way down, they got water from us. Mm-hmm. And we had to cut them all off.
But then regulations and the government got involved, and they had to. Had to be handled differently.
And you know, I used to sell my milk because I milked a cow and she gave 2.5 gallons of milk a day. And they found out I was selling raw milk. Is that what you call it, raw milk? And they made me quit doing that.
Unpasteurized.
It has to be pasteurized. And then Robert started feeding pigs from the King's Inn slop or scraps. And they found out he wasn't processing it, so we had to quit doing that. It was always government. You know, regulations that would step in and, well, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to sell my milk. How was I supposed to know? The people just beg for it. They stand in line to get the whole milk. They, please sell me a gallon. Well, she don't give that much, and I'm supposed to, no. But anyway.
So the prices for property went up once water was readily available?
Yes, the land on the waterfront is, it's crazy. I mean, a little, what are they, 100, some of them 75, something like that, and they're like a $169,000 for just a piece of ugly property with nothing on it.
Just because it has waterfront.
Uh-huh. Yes. And the taxes is just eating them up, and there's about 5 of them up for sale right now because they just, you know, they come down here to fish and weekend, and all of a sudden it just started crazy. I don't. And you know, some of the people don't have that kind of money that bought property. They was just buying a little piece of land to have a fishing pier. Mm-hmm. So, and now there's some beautiful homes on the water, isn't there, Karen? Beautiful homes. Ooh, really pretty. But they're like $300,000, $250,000 maybe. Ruthie's piece of property is what, $500,000? And so is Salvador's right down here on the corner, $500,000. To us, that sounds like a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
It doesn't sound that way. It is a lot of money.
But if you go to California, that's nothing. Yeah. Is it? If you listen to property things. Yeah.
Well, anybody can go in debt.
Yeah, well, yeah, and lose it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are some other changes that you've noticed over the years here in Rivera?
Just not a whole lot. It's just a farming country at land, you know, isn't it, Karen? Wouldn't you say it's farmland?
More people. There's more people.
There's a lot more people than there used to be, but it's mostly farming, and then these houses on the water are just weekend people from Houston and Austin and San Antonio, and they don't even live here, and they come down weekends. You know that sign that's on my corner, that's still my piece of property in front of the store.
Okay.
It has that sign on it.
Yeah.
They're asking, what is it for that house?
$259,000.
Yeah, for a house. And it's been there for a while. But did I tell you he gave me $500 for putting that sign there?
That's good. Isn't that the second time that sign has been used?
Yes. I said, well, thank you, but I told him he could put it there. I didn't care.
Yeah.
You know, he said, no, it's worth something. So when he sold the first one, they gave him a $500 check to give to me. Now, this time he just gave me one and he didn't even sell it. I said, well, I don't care if you leave it there, as long as you keep it mowed around. Because whenever somebody bales it, well, they have to go around it. Because I don't know if it's going to be an ag anymore, Karen. Calvin didn't go tend to it when he was supposed to.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the taxes is going to be on it. Maybe I'll want to sell it. I have about 10 buyers that want it. Can you believe that? I bet 10, if I could write them out, there's 10 people that want that corner.
Huh.
Steven really wants it, though, the one that owns the store that bought from Calvin.
Yeah.
He's my cousin.
Okay.
His is Unterbrink. As Unterbrink, yeah. But he wanted it from day one when he wanted, and I'm just not ready to sell it. Because you can't, what would I do with the money? You can't get anything on a CD. And I don't want to invest it because I'm too old. You know, you can lose that. What would you do with it, Karen? Give me some suggestions.
Well, I don't know. I'd have to think about it.
I asked the kids and they say just keep it.
Maybe put it in trust for your grandkids.
Well, I don't know.
The jacuzzi's always nice.
There you go.
A what?
A jacuzzi.
Oh.
A hot tub.
Yeah. I know.
No hot tub for Margie.
Okay.
No.
Well, yeah.
There you go.
But anyway, that's about as much as I can tell you about this beach. And then Leo Coffer.
The park's name.
The park's name.
Coffer Memorial Park.
And when they got water, well, it grew. Yes.
Yeah, see, that's where we are right now. We're in Leo Coffer Park, Memorial Park.
And
this is Seawind, that's a county park inside Coffer Park, that's a county park also.
Yes. So well, like all that over there is, well, what is it? Parks and Wildlife takes care of part of where right. the boat docks are.
It's a county.
Uh-huh. It's a county. Uh-huh. And my son and his wife run the park when it first opened, Robin. They chose them. They had 44 people down wanting to do this, and they picked Robin and Debbie.
So how many people are usually at this park in the winter?
Well, it's full. They don't even have room for some of them that want.
So about how many would you say?
Well, I don't know. Has it 205 spots? I think that's something like that.
And most of them are
Winter Texans.
Winter Texans.
Winter Texans. Winter Texans. Just like where Robin lives right now, he's not going to get to live there after, let's see, when does that guy come in? In January, he'll have to move somewhere for 3 months because he pays $110 for that lot to keep it. Whenever you want your lot, you pay $110 until you come back, and then it goes up to the $325. But they can rent that lot for $325 even if they're getting $110. That's the way it works because they want that spot. Yeah. But I'd say it numbers up to 200 and something over there. But you know, I don't know what it starts out at.
I don't either.
I really don't know. And that's a new circle over there where Peggy is, you know.
But that sounds like about right.
Something. You ever hear Yvonne say maybe? They was on 183 mm-hmm. or 4 or something like that, wasn't
it? No, it's a couple of hundred. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And they have all kinds of stuff they do, right?
Right. At the big rec room in the wintertime is busy from morning till night. Different things you do, you know.
And what used to be here before Leo Coffer Park?
Hubert's on all this. Hubert.
So was it farmland or just land?
Well, you know, only thing I can remember that was up in here when we first moved down here was like the Boy Scout house was here. Somewhere about where... What would I say it would be? Somewhere over that way. Anyway, it was a big building, and it was for the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. And I guess, and now that's up there on 1717. You know, up in there, they moved that there. But that's all I can remember it being. And then they put in a kind of a little cottage, and Lois Reed just run it, because they had, maybe 10, 12, 15 spots, you know. Until they made it into Leo Coffer Park.
Now that
remodeled.
Behind where Brown's store is now, and before you got to the King's Inn, tell him what your father built in
It was all rent houses. All rent houses in there. And he named them the Green Top and the Red Top, and he had every one of them a name. But they was all behind the store, you know, where you turned by Karen, all the way up to the King's Inn. There was lots with little houses on
we
it.
We rescued a board out of...
Pardon?
Rescued a board out of it?
Peggy, I did. Uh-huh. I gave it to Peggy. Wonder what she's going to do with that.
They were all numbered.
Oh.
Remember? And we found the number on one of them.
Oh, really? Well, anyway, I gave it to Peggy. I don't know what she's... I bet she didn't keep it. But it was out of Grandpa's little house. My daddy's, daddy lived in one of the little cottages. That's where he lived for a while.
What kind of people would buy those? Like what kind of people would live down here?
Well, a fisherman.
A fisherman?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But now Randy Ware owns it all. And Lynn. I don't know what part each one of them own. I think maybe they might have bought it together. But you know the little place right aside of the store, Phyllis wants to buy that so bad, but a fisherman lives there.
Yeah.
But he's making a good living, so, I mean, he's a fisherman.
How's fishing changed over the years?
Lots of commercial fishermen. But you can't even buy a commercial fisherman's license anymore.
That's
unless
what we
you
heard.
Can buy somebody's, like Calvin sold two of his, because he had one for Valentino and one. He had fishermen before he got sick, and he'd sell some of his fishing license. And you get big bucks for them too.
Mm-hmm. But is it more sport fishing now?
Now, yeah. Well, a commercial fisherman can't fish but from Monday through Friday, and they got to pick up at noon, so the sport fishermen can go out. It's really not fair. It's really not fair, and they cannot keep a red. They can't keep a trout. I don't know if they can keep flounder.
They can keep them, they just can't sell them.
No, they cannot keep them. They catch them on your boat and they take everything away from you. Look into it. You bet. And one time I was telling you about Dwight, they thought he cleaned a fish and he's not. And he had a little bitty red he wanted to keep, well, just not quite big. And somebody must have told off on him. And they put every fish out of his truck right there in front of the store. And they found that little fish and find the heck out of him. And now they take it away from you. They don't just find it. They take it away from you.
They take what away from you?
Your commercial stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
If they catch you with one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They cannot keep a red. And, you know, they're dead on the line. And they just have to throw them away. It's sad. Hmm. But they cannot keep them. Well, it just killed Calvin and Robin when they, you know, Robin was a fisherman too, and couldn't keep them. They can't. But I don't know if they can keep a flounder. I'm gonna have to ask Calvin.
Yeah, Calvin was the one telling us that they are allowed to keep one flounder.
One
red, a sheephead.
They can keep one. I didn't even know that.
Because
they must
they're
have
not supposed to sell them.
Oh.
It can't be enough that you could sell it. You can keep one for yourself.
I wonder
yourself
when
to
they
eat.
Changed that.
I don't know. Calvin was telling me.
I did not know. I'm going to have to ask Calvin. When did that change? Because I remember him doing that to Dwight in front of the store.
So what are some of the old names down here?
Some of the old names.
Old last names of people that have been here since you remember.
Poof. Boy, now names. Jones owned the fish market. And Yeary's owned where Lynn has, and Huff's owned the Washateria. Well, they bought it from Jones, you know. And what the heck? There wasn't too many people that actually lived here.
Yachtlin?
Pardon?
Yachtlin?
No, they didn't have anything on our beach. You're talking about our little Loyola? Is that who you're asking about? Oh, no, I don't remember. Reeves lived here, and Wes lived here. Reeves and Wes and Jones, and Bubba Brown did live here. Robin's, yeah, but over there were right by Lynn's house, and that's the Yeary's right by her. And then behind Mom, right, what was that man's name? He bought a place too, but I can't think of his name, that owned the cafe. I can't think of his name. But that's about all I remember. Because most of them was rent houses, and Papa just rented them. You know, and they was in and out, in and out, in and out.
Come and go.
Uh-huh. And then he sold all those rent houses. They're over towards Revere Beach somewhere, if they're still there.
With Coke, did Coke sell his interest down here after the hurricane? Or how did that work out?
All I can remember is that my grandpa sold land for Coke Land Company. That's
okay.
What I remember.
Yeah.
And there's still some lots at Revere Beach that were sold through Coke Land Company or whoever was selling for Coke, you know, and they're just laying there. I mean, you know, they're just there with trees and, well, you can drive through and see whether there's not anything. And a lot of them are sold, like where Richard Underbrink lives and, you know, all up in there. There's a nice few little houses in there where Miss Smith lived. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Redfish Bay, Redfish, what's the name of that?
Estate.
Redfish Estate has some beautiful homes back up over in there, about down from the cafe. But that's, I don't even know their names. I've never met them. When somebody come in one day and asked me if I knew where Redfish Bay was, Redfish
Estate
was, I said, I sure don't know. I've heard of something going in over there, and I told them, and I was right. I was surprised at myself, but I just heard about it. I said, I really don't know what the name of it is. But they said, well, they tell me it's Redfish Estate has some lots for sale. So, anyway, I just can't really think of many names except the ones I told you. Youngs, the Youngs, and the Reeves, and the Wests, and the Wilkesons. Hey, Wilkesons, she had a beauty shop there. Mabel, Wilkesons, and the Earys, and the Joneses, and the Browns, and the Huffs, and Yocklin's is the one that bought the land where the store is. Yocklin, he bought that and then sold it, but he never lived here. He just bought it from Papa. Papa was selling them lots as he got older, just getting rid of them.
And his plan was to sit on the back porch of that house he lived in
and
watch everything that went on.
Yeah.
My house. Where my little studio is now was a porch, and that's where he used to sit.
And watch the cars travel to his famous King's Inn. I can hear him say that.
So,
love it.
Who named it the King's Inn?
I just saw the name in there. He had King's Inn in Kingsville. Well, I just said it a while ago, and now I can't say it. But it's right there in those papers.
Was it May? No, not May.
Mays never did own anything on the beach, no. What was their name? Anyway, they had a King's Inn in Kingsville.
Peoples?
Pardon?
Was it Peoples?
Peoples. Well, they lived down that way, but I guess that's Lawler Beach anyway. But no, no.
So,
but Papa bought from Paralysis.
So Orlando leased what would be the King's Inn to who?
Mom Wright.
Yes. But she didn't name it the King's Inn, or
no.
She sold hamburgers, right?
Yeah, hamburgers and fries.
Fries, mm-hmm. Stuff like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then she started selling fish. And fries, I think.
Uh-huh.
And then she's when, why can't I say their name right now? I can't say it. But anyway, two people come in and they helped this guy that bought it. And he had a restaurant in Kingsville named King's Inn, but it burnt down. So he could rename something. You can't have two cafes the same name, is the way I understand it. Or back then you couldn't, I don't know. But anyway,
So he bought it from the May Wright, or from the, what was her name?
Mom Wright.
That person bought it from her.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And then named it the King's Inn.
Yes. Yes.
Did she work for him?
Mom Wright.
Uh huh.
Oh yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, because I saw a picture and I assumed that she's the one that did it, but I guess not.
No, she didn't name it that.
Okay.
Hers, Papa named it first.
Orlando's
Cafe. Uh huh. And then it was.
And when did the Wares come in? Did they?
In 1940.
Did they work for Mom Wright?
Yes. They worked for Mom Wright. And then when she got ill, she gave it to him or whatever happened. I ain't going to
that. She didn't have any other family.
Yes, she did.
She did, but she gave it to the Wares.
Said it. Now, anyway, that's the way the story is. That's how they got it acquired from Mom Wright. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that actually pushed it forward, and it really got big under them.
Uh-huh. And they built that big room on that end where we had dances all the time, and this turned it, our dance hall turned into a kitchen. When I was a kid, the round thing was a dance hall, now it's a kitchen. Yeah. So, uh-huh. I wish I could say the name of those people. That it, I have it right here in these little papers. That.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And,
I don't.
And yeah. do you mind if I make copies of these paper?
I don't
okay.
Care, okay. No. But some of them are not really right. But if that's what you want, and I always thought that was cute.
Well, I can take a picture of the ones that are right though.
Uh huh. Well, I was going to show you. Here it says in 1939, Underbrink moved his building further off the water in the present location of the King's Inn. Right in here. See?
Okay.
And this is my son Robin waiting tables. I mean, not waiting tables, bussing. And this is cars. And well, this is, but I want to tell you, and I don't think that Randy would like it, but my husband is the one that made that recipe of the tartar sauce. I know exactly how to make it, but I'm not supposed to tell anybody.
Okay.
If you knew, she told you she'd have to kill.
We won't ask.
Since I'm not working there, and my husband actually, because we made it all the time. My husband and I made that tartar sauce all the time. And he'd change it because it'd break down and get watery. It'd get watery. And he had to make gallons at a time, you know. And so he gradually got it to where he knew that it wouldn't break down, and he knew exactly what he was doing. And it wasn't Mom Wright's recipe by no means. I know, Robert kept adding to it and made it the sauce it is today. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But they don't like to say that.
Yeah.
So that's okay. I said, my husband was the best man in the world, I think. And he never complained because he said, well, they'll let him think Mom Wright made it, but she didn't. She wasn't. No. She was a little, a Polish or something lady. She talked funny, a little fat, happy-go-lucky little lady. And her husband was a fisherman.
Durham.
That's it. Durham bought it. And Lot's Beach? Is it Lot's Beach in Durham?
Yes.
Yes. Lot. I don't know why that wouldn't.
That's who bought.
Mrs. Ware. I mean, Mrs. Wright.
Yeah.
Lot's Beach in Durham. Uh-huh. I used to like the boy that well, his name was Billy Wayne. Lot's Beach. He was a young kid when I was down there. He was cute. Cute young boy.
For $1,200 a year, he leased the building from Mom Wright.
So, the Durhams?
And the...
Lot's Beach. Bought it. Now, that's true. That's true.
A Kingsville businessman. Mm-hmm. $1,200 a year, he leased the building from Mom Wright.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And this was his partner. Evidently, there was two of them.
Yeah. And then Mrs. Dern, Mrs. Ware come down and saw it, and you can read about it, you know, and it, and that's when they bought it.
And this information is in the Clayburgh County, Texas historical mm-hmm. book.
Mm-hmm. I bet my sister wrote that too, didn't she? If you read, Idella wrote it. Whatever you see that my sister wrote is almost right.
It was her memory, a lot of it.
Yeah.
You know, because there's not the real people here to ask.
No. Except for me, and I remember it. I mean, you know, I really remember it.
It's just,
but I don't remember names.
And dates.
Yeah.
Dates are hard sometimes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The exact date. You know, it was like, it could have been 1935.
Yeah, but that 100 acres, somebody ought to get that. Papa just bought 10 acres, and he bought it for $1,000. I remember that. Mama just had a fit. We don't have no $1,000.
So your father would have been what nowadays we would call an entrepreneur.
Is that what you
want? Yep, that's exactly. He had foresight to see nothing but scrub brush and prickly pear down next to the water that could have been something different.
Yeah. Well, he loved to sell lots to people. My grandpa did. He sold all those lots over at Riviera Beach. And that was supposed to be the Riviera. How do you say that?
Well, Riviera.
Riviera.
Because if you spell it for somebody on the telephone, they'll go, oh, Riviera.
Yeah.
I go, yes. I live in Riviera, Texas.
But there really did. It was a train that went down. There was a huge pavilion out on the water. There's pictures of it. And they, of course, I didn't know it.
It was a big, fancy hotel.
Oh, yeah.
And they would bring them by the, after they got off the train, they'd bring them by a wagon.
Yeah.
Down to the beach.
But the train went right through there, right up to the beach. There's a railroad track, some of it's, you know, still built up high where you can see where it was. Yeah.
And they cleared the land by hand, I guess, huh?
Well, that's how Robert and I cleared ours.
So you cleared, so you cleared the land?
Yeah, we cleared it by hand.
By hand.
They hired men that came from Mexico to help them clear it by hand.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
That usually worked by the day.
Yes, they did. And they were housed by farmers that used most of them. You know, farmers used them. Well,
tell me what they used to grow a lot of down here.
Cucumbers. We had cucumber stands that you would not believe down there on the beach. We packed cucumbers till 2 or 3, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, we did.
And melons?
And watermelons. Well, we didn't ever do that. Tony Dietz did. He had that over there where that water, where the fish market is now. He packed lots of water. And I packed lots of cucumbers over there. Oh, goodness. Oh, mercy.
Yeah, where the fish market is used to be what?
Where it is now. He had a watermelon. I mean, he sold watermelons, everything.
And all kinds of vegetables out there, right, that they grew down here.
Right, right.
It used to be a vegetable place, not a fish market.
Well, yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget when Tony wanted us to bring my daddy over there to see it because he named it Loyola Beach Vegetable Stand, I think. And Pop cried when he saw that they named it Laurel Beach, because everybody's going Bath and Bay now, you know, instead of. But it was a nice growing, but now they sold it to a fisherman, and it's a fish market. So, anyway.
So what do you think is going to happen to this place in the next 20 years? You have any?
No idea. No idea. If the King's Inn would close down, what would it be? Laurel Beach store, Brown store. That's all that's there. Unless they keep that little, and they can't keep that little store open unless the King's Inn is open. I mean, you know, people from King's Inn go over there and trade the days they're there. How many days a week are they open?
They're open every time King's Inn is open.
Is that right? Okay.
So they're closed Sunday and Monday.
Oh.
We'll drive back to the house, and I'll show you what the conversation is that we're having and where the little houses were, if you'd like to see.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think's going to happen, Margie?
What do I think is going to happen? I don't know.
I think Randy's going to get tired of running the restaurant.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think.
And maybe he'll sell it?
I think he's had it for sale for years and years and years, I think, but it just don't, you can't get insurance on it.
Really? Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Well, maybe you can, but it'd cost you a mint. But anything this side of 772 is high insurance, especially if you're on the water.
Because of hurricanes?
I guess. Is that why it is?
Well, didn't Calvin say that the underneath is eroded away underneath?
I think what's happened to King's Inn is it's buildings that have been built and added on and built and added on, and they've not met any building standard.
Right.
You know, so no insurance company, without getting a windstorm, being able to get a windstorm policy, and without having the standards that go into building. Mm-hmm. And back when they built them, that wasn't anything you had to even worry about.
No.
So I think the insurance companies probably aren't willing to touch it.
Well, that's what I've heard, you know.
And it's eroding out underneath that first part. This now the kitchen that Margie talks about as being the cafe where the restaurants and the dance floor. So, yeah, I think it's probably very hard to insure.
I've heard that.
So. Not that you couldn't get insurance, probably, but probably it would cost you more than it was.
Well, you'd have to have inspection after inspection and fix it. Just like when you have a different person insure your house, they're going to inspect the roof and the. I was lucky that I got to sell my home not through realty. I sold it through a, because if they did, they'd inspect the roof, they'd inspect out, they inspect everything, they have to make you put it up to standard, I mean, where they can insure it, if they want to borrow money on it. Now, I got cash for mine, that man, well, I mean, he might have had to borrow the money, but I got cash for it. But anyway, I was lucky.
It's different than when your dad moved down here.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think your dad would think of the place?
I think he would be very pleased with still having the King's Inn and that grocery store. And, you know, I believe he'd be happy about it. And y'all getting his home, uh-huh. That would really make Mama happy. You know, because she loved that house. And there was lots of happy memories there.
Yeah.
Good ones. Yeah.
Still are.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. I still can't go over to my home, though, yet. I don't know why.
How many years did you and Robert
66 live in years. We bought one of Papa's little houses that he built by the store and moved it up in there, mm-hmm. and then added on to it. Uh-huh. We was there 66 years.
Mm-hmm. Lots of good memories.
Yes,
house.
Yes. Crazy. Well, 66 years in July. This July it'll be 66 years. Well, no, 67 years. 67 years this July.
Or it's more. Four kids in that house.
Yes. Yeah. And Debbie said the little children that are in it now are so happy there. So it made me feel good.
Yeah.
She said they liked it. So. And she said she told them, well, this used to be my room.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I know, but I didn't know when you was recording me.
That's okay. That's good. That's good, because you'd have been nervous.
Are you still recording?
Yeah. We're all done.
I want to tell you what to take out. No. That I said.
Yeah, no, I can. Okay. No, that's... Uh-huh. Here, we'll go ahead and stop it now, so that's okay. Not on it. Yeah.
You just want him to take out the part about the wetbacks.
Well, and about... Well,